it's the 22nd. It is the 22nd of May, 2018. Jesus is on the throne. He lives by His Spirit within us. We will never die. We're going to shed these bodies. Thank you, Jesus.
And He's on the move.
And He's, amen, He is on the move. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that around the world, as Your Holy Spirit draws men and women to Jesus Christ through visions and revelations and all sorts of experiences that we can't even imagine, make Jesus Christ be glorified, lifted up, worshipped and adored. Protect Your children all over the world, Lord, who are going through situations we can't even imagine. So, Father, we just ask You to pour out mercy and grace in the name of Jesus. Amen. I did want to talk just a little bit more about the Book of Remembrance that was talked about in Malachi 3:16. He tells them, remember, to put together a Book of Remembrance. And we talked a little bit about that. But what are we to remember? Well, we're to remember some of the things I've just mentioned out of my own life. You have them in your own. But in the history of Israel, I don't think we read in entirely the story about David and Goliath. But you know the story. And when he goes to Saul and Saul gives him his armor, he said, I can't use your armor. And he takes his slingshot and the five smooth stones and all of that. When they came to get the sheep, a bear or a lion, I'd go after, I'd get the sheep back. The point that David is making there, and I think the reason that we want to remember the incident, is that David was prepared through the bear and the lion to face Goliath. And you and I are prepared. We're not brought into situations with no preparation. If we will allow God to deal with the situations of life, we will find ourselves prepared to endure. We don't realize that God does not. How many times do we quote that text? All things work together for good for those who love God. God doesn't cause, but He does allow. He allowed the bear. He allowed the lion. He allowed the difficulties to come into my life because He uses them. And this is a fallen world. But the fallen world is no problem for the living God. He can use every bit of it. In fact, I think He just loves to chap the hind end of Satan by using his worst things. Yes.
I was just thinking that the bear plus 15 minutes was not a fun time for David. I mean, he just went through a lot. He said, what was all that about? I mean, or whatever. We tend to do that. We tend to go through something, and for the moment, it doesn't seem joyful, but sorrowful.
That's right.
And there's something in Scripture about that.
We're going to get to it in a moment, yeah.
And in Hebrews 12. But the point is, in the midst of that, when things do not look well, we have to know that God is still on the move.
Amen. You know, one of the things, just, I don't mean to embarrass Al and Jan, but when Jan was in the hospital and went through what she went through, I mean, you were thinking she could die. I mean, and when I saw her in the hospital and realized, gee, I heard that Jan might be dying, and I get there, and I see her grandchildren there singing a song the Spirit of God gives them. It's just like God is laughing in Satan's face. You touch my daughter. And when you touch my daughter, you're touching me. It's just so important for us to realize that. God is on the throne. Nothing catches Him by surprise. And if we could let that really become something in our heart, stone, a rock that we can live on, the difficulties of life then don't just threaten us and we go around full of anxiety and worry about, well, what if this happens? I've lived in that world of what if. You know, what if this happens? What if this happens? What? Well, God is greater than what if. And we need to know that He's preparing us for whatever it is in our lives we're going to face. I wanted to look at two or three scriptures about faith. I want to bring one situation to mind rather than going back and reading it. Do you remember when Jesus goes back to His own hometown and He could do few mighty works and He marvels at their unbelief from just that little portion? What role does your faith play in this life of a disciple of Jesus?
A big role.
Yeah, it's a huge role, because God gives it. We read Ephesians, you know, where it says, "By grace you're saved through faith. It's not of your own; it's a gift of God." That gift has to be exercised by us. I can't go and say, "Well, you exercise my faith." No, I can't do it. What I can do is pray that one day you will exercise your faith. I have a son who's put on a lot of weight and is not wanting to lose it. He was remembering when I was 345 pounds, and he said, "You lost over 100 pounds and you've kept it off. How'd you do it?" And I said, "There's no plan. It's called Jesus." He's finding the same thing to be true. My point is,
in times that we don't understand, where our faith has to kick in, we'll believe all kinds of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Lately, it's like the Lord is saying, "You forget about that point I made about I have a plan."
Yeah.
You forgot about that. I'm working my plan, regardless of whether you understand how I'm doing it. Because when he said it in Jeremiah 29:11, he says, "For I know the plan I've got for you."
Yeah.
He didn't say, I let you in on it. He said, "I know the plan that I've got for you. And it's for welfare, not calamity. And it's got a future and a hope." And then now, apply your faith.
Absolutely. But if people... What is your view of God? You see, there are people whose view of God is not only restricted and small and limited and wrong.
Yeah.
It's like God is up there wanting to hurt us some way. We don't think he really has our best interest at heart. And especially when we go through difficult situations that don't have an explanation that's very clear. I wanted to read this. You know the whole 11th chapter of Hebrews. You know all about the lessons of faith. It's in the 8th verse that I want to remember. And I bet over the last 50 years I have read this verse a million times. It seems like a million. Because Barb and I were in northern Illinois. We'd gotten saved and we said, "Well, what do we do now?" And we were reading this and this verse came to mind. And you know it. I've said it so many times to this group. Verse 8, "By faith Abraham, when he was called, hey Abe, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going." And I've been so many times, I know I've said it, but I cannot say it enough. If you think you're going to know where you're going, you're fooling yourself. But how can you go without knowing? You go because faith is something God requires from you. He puts the opportunity in us to take the step. And if you won't take the step, God doesn't get behind you and shove you. Just think of, what was it? I think it was John Eldridge today was remembering in Revelation, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. I don't stand at the door with a club and beat it down. Will you open your heart and let me come in?" It's so important for us to understand you have to move. Now I want to go to the first... Yeah.
The church we went to in Oklahoma City, we went back yesterday for a funeral.
Oh.
And the picture that I dearly love, there's a huge wall-sized picture of a door and Jesus, and he's knocking, and there's no handle, from his side.
Amen. It's on the inside. God, we have to participate. Because, you know, one of the things that has been a mystery to me, I understand it and I believe it, is the free will. We really are free. Even though he knows the outcome, he doesn't use it to beat us with it. We have to make those faith choices. And there are people that, I'm seeing, maybe you've been through it too, but people that each of us knows, that have had opportunities but refuse to take the steps of faith. And they get absolutely bound in anxiety. They're afraid to move for making a mistake. The only way I know how to say it is that you can't make a mistake when you take a step of faith, even if it's the wrong step.
turn you around.
He can turn you 180 degrees. But if you never move, you never get into what God has. Yes.
Tom, that anxiety is straight from Satan, straight from hell itself.
Yes, sir.
Not from the Lord.
Absolutely.
We get bound up, just tied up in that anxiety, not knowing what to do, where to go. I know I do. And I'm trying to let go of that and move by faith. But I've been in that position where you're talking about where you wonder what God is doing. You say, when the pain is very high and I'm spasming at night and my right side shoves me one way and my left side shoves me
the other way.
And it repeats every 30 seconds for hours on end. I get tired and I wonder where the Lord is.
Sure you do.
And I've even said to Cheryl, I said, I think the Lord hates me. That's a lie straight from Satan. That is what he wants us to buy into. So we really have to do what you're talking about, and that's step up in faith, whether it's this way, that way, or...
That's right. Yeah. We can turn now to, in light of what you just said, turn to the Hebrews, the 12th chapter, because he begins to talk to us about how faith works its way out in disciplines. You know all of this. I'm not reading anything you don't know. I understand that. But I do want to go through these first few verses a little slowly. He ends by saying that all of those people in the Old Testament gained approval, but they didn't receive what was promised. What was promised is available to you and I because of Jesus Christ. And listen to what he says, therefore. And as Bob Mumford used to say, what's a therefore, therefore? Everything that's preceded it. He says, now because you realize these people walked by faith, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses, who are they? The ones he's just talked about all through the 11th chapter. Whether it's Abraham or Isaac or Jacob and all these people. We have a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us.
Verse 1.
Let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. What do some of the other versions say? What's that word encumbrance? What is an encumbrance to our faith, to our believing? If he says here, we're witnesses, lay aside every encumbrance. Well, yeah, what's an encumbrance? Well, what am I supposed to lay aside? Who does the laying aside?
We do.
That's faith. It's something you do. It's not something you think about in a broader context. It's not something you necessarily believe. You can believe a lot of things and not act on it. An encumbrance is something... Well, how would you describe it? What?
It slows you down.
It's a snare. And yeah.
It hinders.
I didn't hear you.
It hinders.
It hinders. What else? Yeah.
My encumbrance is fear. Mm-hmm. That stops a person in its tracks. Fear does.
Sure does, doesn't it?
Huge encumbrance.
Yeah.
Entangles.
Entangles, that's another word. But who lays it aside? What do you do when those encumbrances are they real? Yes. Do they hurt? Yes. But who is the one that's in charge of laying that encumbrance aside? It's you and I. I remember when I was a little boy, my dad worked for Illinois Bell Telephone, and they had a first aid kit. And because they were concerned about some sort of thing, they had iodine that they would put on a wound of some sort,
yeah,
because it would kill, I don't know, what was it that would...
Bacteria.
Yeah. What did iodine kill that mercurochrome didn't?
Yeah.
Well, whatever it was. And my dad, I'd get a cut or something, he'd say, let me put some iodine. I said, no iodine. But he would put it on and he'd say, it's going to hurt, but it's okay. I've remembered that. What? On the encumbrances of my life. Some things hurt. It can be physical, it can be relational, it can be spiritual. They hurt. There's pain in them. God can drain the pain only when you'll take the step of faith. For instance, now listen, he says, lay aside every encumbrance and the sin. So an encumbrance may not be a sin. A sin is different than an encumbrance. What would a sin be?
Agree with Satan about it.
Yes, believing that God hates me.
All right, that would be sin. So what do you do? What does he say? Let us
turn with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith.
Why fix your eyes on Jesus?
That's where our faith comes from.
That's right.
That's what we're focusing on.
When you hurt, the most difficult thing to do is to focus on Jesus. But he's saying that as you learn, and I think this is one of the things that makes us go from a convert to a disciple. A disciple is one who becomes like his master. That Jesus tells us that. Well, discipleship means that I begin to respond to the way Jesus did. That's what this text is going to be about. Look at Calvary. You talk about suffering, heart, and pain.
The message says this. Said, did you see what this means? All these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on, means we better get on with it. Strip down, start running, and never quit. No extra spiritual fat, no parasitic sins. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who began and finished this race we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed. That exhilarating finish in and with God, he could put up with anything along the way, cross, shame, whatever. And now he's there in the place of honor right beside God.
Who does the looking to Jesus?
We have to.
It is hard. It is hard when you're in the midst of whether it's spiritual, physical, relational. In the middle of those things, it's very difficult to say, I will not look at this situation as final. I've told you about just the second deal with cancer with me, when I was in such pain. I can't imagine the pain that Carrie goes through. I do know the pain I've been through. I don't know his pain. I don't know the pain of any of you, that whatever you've been through. But I do know what mine was. And I know in the middle, I was crying out to get healed. And God says, well, ask me. And I kept saying, what do you think I've been doing? Ask me to bear it. And he did. And the pain did not go away, but it was bearable. That's what it means when it says, fix your eyes upon Jesus. He bore the pain, and when he bore it, it didn't go away. It ultimately, what?
Killed him.
She says, get another echocardiogram, this AM, if things check out okay, I get to finally go home. Finally to eat, too. And it goes on, and I don't know what the rest of the message is.
Go ahead and read it. It's all right.
I'll have to press the button.
Unless it's terribly personal.
No, it's. I don't think it is. Let's see what the rest of the message says.
Oh, well, God bless Sherry right now in Jesus' name. Bless her. Let her know that she's in our prayers.
Okay.
Thank you, Lord. Well, I love the way the message reads.
Yeah.
Notice, yes.
I was just going to say, as you read through this, to me, I remember the analogy of walking on the water.
Yes.
I really don't like swimming, let alone walking on the water. And yet we're given the example of keeping our eyes on Jesus. The apostle didn't sink when he hit. But as soon as he turned his eyes on the water, he was drowned.
That's right.
The same thing.
Absolutely.
Right.
That's excellent. The point I'm trying to, there's just one single point that I felt God wanted me to just encourage us all today, is we walk by faith. And one of the seems to be great religious seductions is religion and a whole belief system. That belief system can be absolutely pure, righteous, and holy, and be absolutely, utterly helpless in letting you walk the Christian life. It's not that it's evil, but it's that it has no power until you exercise faith.
What I so much, one of many things that I so much love about the Lord, he tells us to do something that we can't do, and then he sets about to help us do it. He says, have faith, and then he says, fixing your eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter or finisher. He's within us both the will and to do.
That's right.
I mean, he tells us to do something, and then he turns around and helps us do it.
Absolutely.
That's a good God.
But do you know that we have to come to that place? Because when we're born again, we've got the seed of the new life. We're born again. We're going to heaven. That's not the issue. But we aren't of much use to God. We aren't much use to bringing the kingdom of God in. And the only way that we do is when we become disciples. That's why I go back to 1 Corinthians 3 so often when Paul says to that Corinthian church, he says, are you guys ever going to grow up? All I can give you is milk. I got some solid food. You're still jealous? I'm of Paul. I'm of Apollos. I'm of Jesus. Jealousy. Oh, and think of that Corinthian church. You talk about flesh.
Yeah.
Holy mackerel. But they're believers. They're going to heaven. But they aren't much use. And that's what Paul is talking about in that third chapter. I want you to grow up and become of use in the kingdom of God. And that only happens through this pattern that we just read about. I love the Message translation there. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim. Thank you, Jesus. Would you mind reading that out of the Message again? And I just ask as he reads it, that we'll, every one of us has a different pain threshold. Do you know that?
Absolutely.
Some people don't have much of one and some have great. Whatever your threshold is, ask the Lord to enable you to look past it or through it or around, whatever, to put your gaze on the Lord Jesus. And the way that he is the author and the perfecter, the beginning and the end of our faith. He does it all. So when he calls us to trust him, to believe him, to thank him, he's the one inside doing it.
Amen.
And enable us to hold fast. Listen to this translation. I love this. Hebrews 12.
Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race for him. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed. That exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way. Cross, shame, whatever. And now he's there in the place of honor right alongside God. When you find yourselves flagging in your faith, go over that story again, item by item. Amen. That long litany of hostility he plowed through, that will shout adrenaline into your souls.
I don't know if we should just go into it today. We'll probably pick it up next week, but because it goes into the whole portion of discipline. And all discipline is painful. It's always painful. As I was talking, I know I was remembering with my son Matt yesterday, we were talking. He said, Dad, I've never realized how painful hunger is. I said, I know what that's like, son. I know when my whole life centered around lunch or dinner or breakfast. I'm serious. Those 105 pounds that I lost didn't just go, zappo. You have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood, and you're striving against sin. And you've forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord. Why does God allow the disciplines? So that we can be conformed to the image of his son. And that's why going back to those first verses, when he says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. In other words, he saw the result before the fact. When you and I walk in and by and through faith, we have our eyes on the goal, on the joy set before us. But getting from here to that takes faith. And it's daily. And it's difficult. And it's painful. Yes. Yes, it is. And again, as we talked about last week about it, it's good to remember that God is not linear like we are. He's always now. Whenever you call on God, he's now. He's always now. And when we read these things, for those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines and he scourges every son whom he receives. I don't know how you describe scourge, but I don't think it's happy days. It's difficult. But again, I want to underscore body, soul, spirit. And God brings us through, because one day when we see him, we'll be like him. Father, our Father, our Father, who art in heaven, holy, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come. And Lord, we're just realizing for your kingdom to come on earth requires us receiving and believing you, trusting you, that you're in your choice and by your wisdom and by your spirit, you have chosen to bring the kingdom on this earth through us. I mean, you could just go zap. Like someone said the other day, Jesus could have called 10,000 angels, but he didn't. He wants to bring the kingdom of God on earth through us. We are doors to the kingdom of God to brothers and sisters who don't even know they are. So we pray that prayer, Jesus. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will. That means that our will is going to have to change. Because we've got ideas and plans. But your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And even as has been expressed this morning, Lord, you're the only one who can provide the bread that we need to grow and to become disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are the bread of life. And you told the disciples, Jesus, come and eat my body and drink my blood. And they heard that and they said, oh my goodness, now he's gone crazy. And a lot of the disciples left you, Jesus, because they didn't understand, they didn't see, and they didn't exercise faith. But Lord, you said, eat your body, drink your blood, and remember you. And that enables us to lay aside those encumbrances and every sin that stands in the way of us obeying and following you. We receive our daily bread. Sometimes it tastes good and sometimes it doesn't. But Lord, with our eyes upon you, you shall cause all things to work together for good. You will bring your kingdom into and through us and establish it on this earth. Forgive us our sins, our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And I know you don't lead us into temptation. That's the enemy and our old nature. But it's crucified with Christ. It's dead. It's buried. We are new. We are forgiven. Past, present, and future. Everything with your shed blood, Jesus. And we are grateful. We are grateful. So we know you don't lead us into temptation. You deliver us from the evil one. And the reason you do that is because it's your kingdom, your power, your glory, forever and ever. Lord, we desire to be sons and daughters of the kingdom of God and the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Father, we are grateful. We are grateful that you are able to fulfill everything you've caused. You are able to bring us through any difficulty, any hardship, any pain, any sorrow, any joy. We are grateful. So have your way with us, Lord Jesus. Enable us to turn our eyes upon Jesus and to look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim. And we'll find out that we're not seeking the world, the flesh, and the devil. We're seeking the kingdom of God and the rule and the reign of Jesus Christ on earth as in heaven. Thank you, Father, Thank you for brothers and sisters who walk with us through it. In Jesus' name be glorified, Father. Amen.